Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning as we look into the Word of God, perfect law of liberty. Speak to us through thy word. We know that the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding as well. Thank you, Jesus. We give you honor and praise. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'd like everybody to just take a moment of prayer for themselves to ensure that you can engage the lesson, the message in the spirit, because it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that the Lord will speak to us today, they are spirit and life. May that be the case for us today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, let's get started. 1 Kings chapter 18. And we read, we started from 1 Kings 17 yesterday. We saw all the things that, you know, how Elijah came upon the scene, the things that he did, calling for a famine of rain and dew and all of that, how the Lord sent him to the brook Cherith and commanded the ravens to feed him, and how that the, when the brook was dried, the Lord sent him to Zarephath, and the story with the widow gathering sticks that Elijah told to bring her, him something first, and all of that. The barrel of meal, the cruse of oil, miracle that the Lord did to sustain not only Elijah, but also the widow and her house. We also saw that when the child of the widow died, Elijah was able to pray him back to life. And then, you know, when the Lord instructed Elijah to go and meet with Ahab, and God had promised that he was going to send rain. So first of all, Elijah, he had that confrontation with all of the 450 prophets of Baal and of another 400 prophets of the groove, whatever they were. And together with all of Israel and their king gathered before him, they showed down on Mount Carmel. Read through that yesterday. And how Elijah mocked those other guys to call on their gods. And they cried from morning till afternoon. Nothing happened. They cut themselves, gushed, the blood gushed out. They leaped upon the altars, but yet there was no voice, we're told. And then Elijah, he said, come near me and we'll see. And then he repaired the altar of the Lord. We talked about that yesterday. Set the wood in order. Drench the thing with water. You know, many times over. And they called upon the name of the Lord and said, Lord, let it, these people know that today you have turned their hearts back. Hallelujah. And then he said, the God, of course, the challenge was the God that answers by fire. Let him be God. And of course, the Lord God of heaven, he answered by fire. And then they grabbed all the false prophets and all those, you know, prophets of Baal. And he went and you know, got them all killed. Cleaned up the land from all those prophets and so forth. All right, well, that's the story that we read yesterday. And the people, of course, themselves, they fell upon their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now, we're going to pick up today's lesson from 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to read from verse 41. 1 Kings 18 and verse 41 is where we're going. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, one thing we noticed here was, you know, at the very beginning, you know, of this chapter, the word of the Lord had come to Elijah and said, well, go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. But before the rain would come, there was first this showdown on Mount Carmel, and Elijah had to get rid of all of the false prophets. He also had to repair the altar of the Lord. And he had to do a lot of things before the rain. Now, the rain is what was promised, you know, because there hadn't been any rain for, you know, over 3 years. And the Lord said, well, it's time. You go show yourself. I'm going to send rain. But first, Elijah knew that there was something that he had to do. First, he had to get the hearts or the minds of the people back unto the Lord. And he came up and challenged, you know, all of those false prophets. And of course, you saw the story. And then he got rid of all of that. You know, got rid of all of them from the land, repaired the altar of the Lord, and so on and so forth. So now, he's actually ready to do the rain thing, which was what the Lord told him in the first place. So now he says to Mount Carmel, he says to Ahab, you know, he says, well, get thee up, eat and drink. There's a sound of abundance of rain. Now, Elijah is able to hear that sound in the spirit. At this time, there is no rain anywhere inside. But yet Elijah said, well, there is the sound of abundance of rain. By faith, he's picking it up in the spirit. And so he sent Ahab to go up and eat and drink. Well, the famine, the drought, everything is over. Go and eat and drink. It's coming plentiful rain. You know, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, let's look at the contrast here. Elijah gives the word to the king that rain is coming. You can go and eat now and celebrate. But Elijah himself did not do any such thing. He went back up to the top of Carmel and began to pray. Now, this is a significant lesson for us here. God already promised it. Yeah, what's the point of praying? You know, that's what some people don't know. You know, you have to pray through those promises many times. You have to contend for them. You have to pray them down. You know, it's not just because God promised something doesn't mean we fold our arms and then everything is just going to come to pass. That's not the way it is. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, it's not that simple many times. And if it was that simple, the moment we got sick, we'll be healed right on the spot, every moment, every minute. But sometimes it takes weeks, months, sometimes even years that we are praying and dealing with this thing, either for ourselves, a loved one, family member, a friend, etc. You know, but yet the Lord already gave the promise and he already gave the word. As a matter of fact, he already finished it. Right? You know, he finished the work. You know, we're told that in 1 John chapter 3, you know, that, you know, this is the reason why Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And if that's the reason, and he came, then we know that he actually did destroy the works of the devil, because he said, you know, on the cross, that it is finished. And if that's the case, then, well, why come the works of the devil are not completely destroyed? You know, you can read that in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And destroy them he actually did. But there's all still a contest. There's still a fight. There's still, you know, a wrestling that must go on sometimes, you know. And Jesus, you know, when he was upon the cross, he said, it is finished. You can read that in the book of John, chapter 19 and verse 30. Do all these things that are finished, and yet we got to pray for them. So we see that story right here in this case with Elijah. God already said the rain was coming. He knew it. In fact, he sent Ahab to go away and eat and drink. And, you know, all Israel went away as well. But not he. Elijah did not go away and eat and drink. He actually went up to pray some more. And so this is very, it's a very interesting lesson that we need to pay attention to. You know, at the brink, when the promise is right around the corner, that's when we actually need to pray more. I say that again. When that promise is right around the corner, that's when we need to pray even more. That's not the time to fold up, fold our arms and, you know, either start celebrating too soon or even give up. No, we got to pray. But let's see. Let's read the rest of the story and see what happened with Elijah. You know, this is a, you know, a popular story that, you know, people know. But let's see all the things that Elijah did and how we can learn from this. We're told in the book of James chapter 5 that Elijah was a man of like passion. So, you know, the things that he did, well, let's see if we can do the same. Hallelujah. So he went up to the top of Carmel, put his face between his knees, cast himself down on the ground, and I begin to pray. Then he said to his servant, go now up now and look toward the sea. And the man went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And so, you know, this thing happened 7 times. Each time, we don't know how long there was between each sending of his servant. But each time we believe that Elijah was praying, because that's what James chapter 5 told us, that he prayed fervently. And he was praying, you know, and sent his servant again, go check it out. And the man went and came back and said, there is nothing. Now, well, Elijah, this man could have said, wow. But the Lord said, I will send rain. And I, you know, I already repaired the altar. I already got the minds of the people back. We already got rid of all the false prophets. You know, why is this thing not happening? Well, we don't know what was going on in his mind, but he didn't quit. He kept praying. Number 2, he sent him out. Number 3, third time he sent him out. Fourth, all the way, 7 times. And each time his servant came back and said, there's still nothing. I don't see anything. Elijah, he kept praying. Finally, you know, the man went up again and he said, you know, at the 7th time, you know, and maybe there is a reason why the Lord allowed, you know, that those 7 errands before he actually would do it. It might be prophetic in a bit, but in any case, on the 7th time, the man went and said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And Elijah said, that's it. That's it right there. Praise God. You know, yeah, it didn't even start with a torrential downpour. It started, you know, this man looked at it, he said, well, you know, I don't know. You know, it looks like just a little cloud, because previous to that, the skies were clear. There's not a cloud in sight. He said, well, you know, I can see far out there on the, you know, at the horizon. I can see a cloud. But it doesn't look too big. It doesn't look too significant. It just looks like the size of a man's hand. But Elijah said, well, that's it. That's it right there. That's all I need. Praise God. You know, so when it starts, it may start very small, but the word of the Lord is coming to pass. The word of the Lord was, I will send rain, not just a cloud, but I'm going to send rain. And it may start with a small cloud, but it's going to rain. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to rain. Hallelujah. The Lord said, ask ye of rain. Time, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. And so shall the Lord make bright clouds in Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. And he will give to everyone grass, rain, showers of rain all the grass that's in the field. The Lord will do it. Zechariah 10 and 1. So ladies and gentlemen, I hear indeed the sound of abundance of rain. And it's going to rain. It's going to rain. But at first, it may look like nothing happening. Seven times, nothing happening. Yet the word of the Lord already said it. But he dug in there. He doubled down. Praise the Lord. And then at the end, we see that, my goodness, you know, it came through. Now, we don't know. I mean, in fact, if you consider this story, you know, there are lessons of faith here, but we don't know why the Lord did it this way. You know, other than, well, for us to learn that, you know, even God promised something and there appears to be a delay, we need to continue to pray and it's coming. But, you know, other than that, I don't know why the Lord did it this way. We're not told, because the Lord already said it. Why didn't you just do it already? But actually, the Lord already did it. But there are ways that things that God have already done, there's a way that they finally appear. And so there was always a process to everything. You know, there's a process to it. There's a process. It took the prayer. Well, there are many things. The promise of rain, it took, you know, challenging the powers of darkness. It took repairing of the altar. It took setting the wood in order. I mean, there's a message behind each one of those things. And it took getting rid of all the false prophets and so forth. And it took the boldness of Elijah to do all of that. And finally, it took, you know, fervent, effectual prayer. That's what James calls it. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. To pray the promises of God into manifestation. Hallelujah. So that's a lesson for us today. Never give up on the promise. You know, no matter how long it takes, stay right there with it. There is a promise and it's coming. A promise of rain and it's going to rain. Hallelujah. In this case, it was physical rain, but we have promise of spiritual rain that's coming. And it's the same thing. It's a parallel. We've got to keep on praying. And I tell you what, when the rain finally appeared and Elijah said, that's it. That's it. That's what we've been waiting for. Now, here's what I want you to do. He said, praise God. He said, you know, you go ahead. I'm coming right behind you. Praise the Lord. And, my goodness, the Spirit of the Lord, he came upon this Elijah man. Let's see what he did. You know. How he, you know, was able to even outrun a chariot. Right? Let's see what he did. You know, when the Lord finally showed him the rain, he said, wow, the rain is coming. You know, it is coming. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get it down. And the rain stopped it not. You know, and it came to pass in the meantime, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain, something that started like, you know, at first there was nothing, and then it's a small cloud, like the size of a man's hand. But now, wow. You know, and he said, look, tell Ahab to hurry up and get out of there, because this rain is coming. And there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, Ahab is riding his chariot. You know, Elijah is running on foot, and Elijah will get there first. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, this man, Elijah, he could do many things. He could even outrun the chariots. Now, remember, you know, guard up your chariots and get you out of there in a hurry. Don't let this rain stop you. So the man in the chariot was not going on a stroll. He was like, ha, higher, higher to the horses, and they are moving and they are going, you know. But yet Elijah, by the hand of the Lord that was upon him, was able to outrun the chariots. Glory to God. And there's a lesson in that as well, you know. when we wait patiently for the promise. And when the promise comes, the Lord will make your feet like hinds feet. Hallelujah. You can outrun things. You can outdo things, even things that went ahead of you. You can overtake them and pass them by. Hallelujah. And Elijah, he did exactly that. And so a lot of lessons in that story. But there's more about the life of Elijah. I mean, we've seen, you know, almost supernatural happenings throughout his life is what we've seen here. You know, but that's not all that was told us about the story of Elijah. You know, there is more. Because in chapter 19, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. You know, and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel said, a messenger to Elijah and say, so let the gods do to me and more so if I make not your life as one of those by this time tomorrow. This woman, my goodness, even what Ahab couldn't think to do, this woman is going to do it. I'm going to have your head. You killed all my prophets and so forth. Huh. You know, so let the gods do. That's how, you know, the wicked people used to swear. So let the gods do to me and more if by this time tomorrow your head is not like one of them. Now, and when Elijah heard that, now this is Elijah, the same man that stood up against, you know, 850 prophets, mocked them and did everything. Now he's going to run away from a woman now. Woohoo! But we'll see some other things in the life of Elijah later on. It's coming a time after a while that he's not going to run from anybody. You know, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Elijah, when he heard the story, you know, the message of the messenger from Jezebel, he said, well, I got to get out of here. He ran for his life, we're told. You know, I wonder, you know, why in the world? You know, he just called down fire and did all these things, grabbed 850 people and had them killed. Why would you in the world be running from, you know, just a mere woman? I don't know. But, you know, we all have those moments. We have the highs and the lows. This was, in my opinion, a low moment in Elijah's life after this great victory. And you know, some woman threatened you. Could have called down fire. Could have done anything. Why are you running from a, you know, just a woman after you did all these incredible things? But in any case, he ran for his life, you know, and he came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, left his servant there. And then he went a little further. But you see, these stories in the Bible, they always show us not only the highs, but the lows, not only the strengths, but the weaknesses, you know, of all the people. They're all written there. It's nothing hidden. So plain, put it all out there. And so this man let his servant there say, you stay here and I'm going to go, you know, deeper into the wilderness to seek the Lord. You know, so he went down a day's journey. Now let's follow this story here. Interesting story. Left his servant at Beersheba and he went, you know, another day's journey into the wilderness. And came down and found a juniper tree and he sat down under it and requested for himself that he might die. Now, all because a woman's chasing him. And I just told you that these are low moments in the life of Elijah. This great enigmatic prophet, you know, that done all these incredible things. Nobody ever heard that anyone, you know, Elijah was a trailblazer. All the things he did. Lock up heaven, call down fire from heaven, do all of these great things. And now, all of a sudden, the man is depressed. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is in despair of life right now. This great prophet. You wonder why sometimes, you know, you have some great highs and everything. And then the next day you wake up, you are just so gloomy and everything. It's like the whole heaven come crashing down on you. Well, you're not alone. This great Elijah, he felt the same. You know, one small thing now, he's all depressed and running away and, you know, wanting to die.
you know, he was actually wishing to die here. So look, he went and said, you know, wow, that I may die. He said, Lord, it is enough. Oh, Lord, just take my life. I'm not better than my father's. My goodness. Would you have ever thought that a man like Elijah would come to such a low ebb in his life? After all these incredible, tremendous things that he did, come to a point where he wished to die, didn't want any part of life anymore, and said, Lord, I'm not any better than my fathers. Who told you I'm not any better? With the hand of the Lord that was upon you, I've run a chariot, you know, with, you know, calling down fire from heaven, hearing God's voice, getting, you know, room service from ravens. I mean, all these things, you know, miracle of supply, you know, causing the barrel of meal, the cruse of oil to not fail, raising a dead boy to life. All these things that you have done. And all of a sudden, depression sets in. Now, you're not all alone, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I don't know of any superhuman person that doesn't go through these ups and downs in life. You know, because we, as long as you have a soul, you know, there will be times when your soul will be so distressed. The psalmist said, my soul is so distressed. But the psalmist, he knew the antidote to that. Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he would say to his soul, so why art thou disquieted within me? Why thou cast down? Let there be a rising of you, say, for I shall yet praise him. For the help and the light of his countenance. He would tell himself, you can read Psalm 42. He would tell himself these things. And he knew how to do it. Now, we don't know that Elijah knew how to do it. You know, just a man. His own was like these prize fighters. You know, I used to watch boxing and I love to watch it too. And some of them, you know, that have the incredible records of 19-0, 25-0, 36-0. I mean, they always knock out their opponents. I mean, they come in there, they knock the guy out, and they're done. One day, you know, when they meet a real opponent that they can't knock down, we're going to have to find out whether they can go the distance. You know, if you're always having super victories all the time, you know, can you go the distance? If you know how to dish it out, but can you take it? You know, and I often watch those fights and I'm like, my goodness. One day when they find a real opponent that's not scared of them, I knock them on their butts. You know, they're the ones that always know how to knock everybody out. But one day when somebody stands toe-to-toe with them, they've never seen anyone to go toe-to-toe with them, you know. Now, one day when they find a toe-to-toe person, they might almost lose that fight because they're not used to going the distance. You know, come in there, you know, first two or three rounds, knock out their opponent and walk away. Well, one day somebody's going to stand up to that and say, no, I'm not going down. And then you're going to have to, you know, claw and fight and everything. I watch those fights all the time. You know, son, this is what we're seeing here in Elijah. I mean, he's used to great successes. I mean, hearing from the Lord, great things from the Lord, and great power and everything. You know, now, you know, all of a sudden, he's running away. And he's wishing to die. Yeah, you know, so there's a lot of lessons, you know, to learn here. So he kept on that, you know, juniper tree, and he laid down there and slept. Now, the Lord knew that he's flesh. The Lord knows all these things, you know, and God, you know, the Lord is so good, so kind, and so patient sometimes. So the Lord sent an angel to him. You know, now this man always had, you know, that's one thing about him. High or low, you know, always experienced angelic visitations. My, isn't that wonderful? I mean, we need to develop, you know, our spiritual walk with God to the point where we can have angelic visitations, whether you are up or down. This man is down now, but yet, angelic visitation. The angel of the Lord came and touched him and said, arise and eat. You know, one, it was ravens, now it's the angel of the Lord. His faith was still working even when he was down. He still had this presence, you know, and he can still attract, you know, angelic presence. And came and said, look, eat. I said, the journey is going to be long, you know. And he looked, and there was a cake, you know, on the coals. Where in the world did the coals come from? Where in the world was the cruise of water from. He was in the wilderness. Remember, he went a day's journey into the wilderness. There was nothing there. Left his servant a day's journey back. Now he's there all alone, and he found one tree, and he just said, well, look, this is, you know, I've had it. I'm going to die. But now when he opened his eyes, you know, here is a stove, you know. It's like, you know, it's right there. Something's cooking. Yeah, my goodness. And the angel said to him, arise and eat. There's water for him to drink. Where did the water come from? The angel of the Lord brought it. Praise God. If you have faith and believe the things that we read in this Bible, look, you know, these things are true. And if God's done it before, he can do them again, if need be. Now, at this point in time, Elijah wasn't actually asking for food. He wasn't asking for water. He actually wanted to die. Take note of that. It was at the lowest point in his life. And I don't know why, you know, all of a sudden, after all those great miracles, you know, but, you know, the angel gave him some food and it strengthened him. You know, a whole day's journey in the wilderness, he would have been weary, no water, nothing to eat and drink. No ravens this time around either. So, and no brook to drink from. So he did that, and the angel came to him again and said, well, eat and drink again. You know, so he did. Remember, you know, twice ravens brought him food. And twice the angel fed him here. No more than that. You know, too many eating, you know, it's not good for you. So, you know, it was always twice. And then the angel, he said, look, there's going to be a journey. And God is going to, you know, now Elijah is going through transformation, ladies and gentlemen. Now, remember I said transformation series is coming, but we got to do this story of Elijah first. Now, there's something that Elijah had and something that he has experienced, all this tremendous power, but yet there is a journey and a transformation that he needed to undergo. And so he's right here. And, you know, after that, he's all alone. Angel already came and strengthened him, but that's it. He's all alone. You know, he's not going to have another experience for 40 days, you know, and he's going to keep on going. And God said, you know, God pushing him to go. Now, you know, he's not going to Carmel now. Now he's going to Mount Horeb. Woo-hoo. Mount Horeb. That's the very mount where Moses met God for the first time in Exodus chapter 3. So he's going. The Lord is leading him. I don't know how he knew the way to go, but the angel of the Lord is guiding him anyway. 40 days and 40 nights. That's it. No more food. Angel is not coming again. I'll give you any more food other than show you the way. And he's just going and going and going. And he kept going. It's like, where in the world am I going? You know, he just kept going. He just, something was driving him. He knew that he just needed to go, you know. Now, we're not told here what the angel told him. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, you know. But all he told him was that, you know, the journey is great for you. Which journey? To where? We don't know. Didn't tell him. Maybe he did, but it's not recorded here. But Elijah knew there's a place that he must go. And he just got to keep going. He just keep going. So, you know, 40 days and 40 nights. Had no more food after that experience with the angel. So finally he came to a cave. And now he's close to Mount Hera. Now he sees this cave and he lodged there. And then, you know, after all of that, you know, when the Lord allowed him to be completely drained, 40 days, he's drained, he's weak, he has nothing now, he has no strength left. You know, the last meal was 40 days ago. So now, word of the Lord is coming to him again. And the word of the Lord had been silent that whole time. So now, word of the Lord is coming to him. What doest thou here, Elijah? And then Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts and for the children of Israel, because they have forsaken thy covenant. They threw down thy altars and they slain their servants with the sword. And I, even I alone, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You know, the Lord heard him because the Lord already knew that. knew the reason why he's running, but Lord had to ask him, hear it from his mouth. What doest thou here, Elijah? And then told the Lord all these things. And the Lord said, well, go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord. And then, you know, so he went and he stood. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's pay attention to this story because it's so powerful. You know, up until this point, the voice of the Lord was silent. God was just preparing him. God had to kind of stretch him to his limit. 40 days and 40 nights was like a, you know, the limit was at his breaking point now, you know. And then the word of the Lord came to him at the end of all of that. It's kind of like Christ, you know, 40 days and 40 nights, then the devil come there, you know, and so forth. You know, 40 days and 40 nights, this man, Moses also, 40 days and 40 nights. Actually, Moses, his own was twice. You know, this prophet learned fast, and the Bible, these ones did it. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And there was a call on their lives, all of them, all three of them, doing some incredible things. And they would meet, they would rendezvous later on in Matthew 17 on the Mount Transfiguration. And this Elijah, man, some transfiguration, always cooking in his life, one way or another. Anyway, there's a transformation here that he's about to go through. He's been used to hearing the word of the Lord, but he's going to experience something else now. So the Lord, go and stand before the mount and so forth, before the Lord. And he went, you know, into the place. And then he stood there, you know, and the Lord, listen to this. And behold, the Lord passed by. Well, he knew there was the Lord that passed by, you know, but what he saw was phenomenal. There was a great and strong wind that wrecked the mountains, breaking pieces the rocks before the Lord. Well, where was the Lord? Elijah's looking. And I see all these, you know, quaking and, you know, things happening, rocks falling and so forth. He's hiding himself. Rocks don't fall upon him. There's a quake, there's earthquake, there's all these things, there's shaking, there's rumbling and everything. But he's looking for the Lord. But he can't find the Lord. But he sees all these things there, but the Lord was not there. My goodness. All of that. The Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the earthquake. Now, after the wind, there was an earthquake. And all of that. The Lord was not there yet. Even that. And then after the earthquake, there was a fire. You would think the Lord would be in the fire because this man's experienced fire. Now, these are all the, you know, earthen elements. You know, there is wind, there's earthquake, there's fire, there's all these things. And he said, well, the Lord was still not in the fire. Well, so where is the Lord then? There must be something that Elijah is looking for that made him to know that the Lord was not there. He's looking. Can't see the Lord. And then after all that, after the strong wind, so there's wind, there's earthquake, there's fire, it's all these things. Still, the Lord wasn't there. And so finally, after all of that, then there was a still small voice. And then Elijah knew that the Lord was in that voice. And his journey, this particular part of this journey, is about to come to an end, and it will end at a still small voice. That's right. All of these things that the angel told him, the journey is too great for you, left him alone for 40 days and 40 nights, and all this experience and so forth, is for him to get to this point. And there are things that God will take us through that we don't understand. We use even some of our own errors, you know, used Elijah's arrow here and running away. Could have stood his ground and destroyed the Jezebel, you know, but he didn't. He ran away. But God will use that. Even when you're running away, seemingly, when you are, you know, weak and confused and everything, God will still use that. You know, when the call of God is upon your life, God will use even your errors. Hallelujah. Will bring you closer and closer, you know, to that transformation. So it's something he must go through here. And now, you know, well, so when the Lord, you know, passed through,
the Lord, you know, Elijah, he saw it. He wrapped his face in the mantle and he went out and stood in the entrance of the gate cave. And the Lord, the voice came unto him again. What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said exactly the same thing before. Like he said before, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, and because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, they've thrown down thine altars, they've slain their prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. You know, he would say these things. And the Lord allowed him to say it. There's something God is going to tell him, but he didn't tell him just yet. So the Lord says to him, go and return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you get there, you're going to find Hazael and anoint him to be king over Syria. And you're going to find Jehu, the son of Nimshi. You will also anoint him to be king over Israel. And you're going to find Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah. You will anoint him to be prophet in thy room. So you're going to anoint your replacement. You know, he had to go through, you know, a lot of breaking down to get to that point. God had to break Moses down also at one point to say, look, you're not going in, but you're going to anoint Joshua and you're going to strengthen his hand. Had to break down these people. Well, this is the person that's going to take your place, and you are going to be the one to train him how to take your place. Praise the Lord. But these people, they understood the Lord. Yeah, they're not angry that someone is going to take their place. They're not. They understood that. You know, they just knew it's like a relay race. You've done your part. You hand on the baton to someone else and they must do their part. They understood that, you know. So, and then the Lord is now going to tell him. He said, look, anybody that escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu, we slay. And anybody that escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha, we slay. And then the Lord is going to drop this thing to him. Well, yet, you thought you were the only one left. The Lord said, no, you're not the only one. Sometimes we feel that we are the only one. You're the only one that's serving the Lord. You're the only one that knows anything. You're the only one that's, you know, doing this stuff. The Lord said, no, I've got me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth that have not kissed him. Now, whether that's 7,000 people, or he's counting the knees, which is two knees per person, is 3,500, I don't know. But in any case, I've got 7,000, he said, that have not bowed down. All the knees which have not bowed down unto Baal. My goodness. You know, so he went, departed, and found Elisha, just like the Lord said, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. You know, and he, you know, was with the 12th. And Elisha passed by him, cast his mantle. He just passed by him, threw his mantle on him, and kept going. He didn't tell him, he didn't say anything. Just passed by the guy and just threw his mantle over Elisha and just moved on. He didn't even say a word. And Elisha, he left all that oxen, ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee. You know, and Elijah said, no, go back. He's trying to discourage him. You know, it's just, but maybe it was a test. Go back. You know, go back. What have I done to you? I've not done anything. Yeah, but you did something. You threw your mantle on him. And you see some stories later on too where Elijah kept telling Elisha, go back, when he was about to be translated. Elisha, he wouldn't do it. You can't. You're not going to shake this man. You're telling him to go back or not? No. He said, I'm going to be right there. So anyway, he went, and the Bible says that he went back, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled and so forth, did all this thing, gave to the people. They did it. Then he arose and went after Elijah. So he actually did his goodbyes and everything, and went and minister to Elijah. Elijah waited for him too. But the Lord already told him, you know, this is going to be the man that you, you know, be the next prophet in your room. Interesting stories. And there is much more, but we're going to leave it there for today so we can talk some more, you know. But here are the highlights of what I want to bring out in today's lesson. There's many more things about the life of Elijah. Trust me, we're not even done yet. And we're going to cover them all. But so far, we've seen some incredible things in the life of this great enigma. He's an enigmatic prophet. Nobody knew too much about him. We're not told his lineage or anything. We don't know who his father was. We don't know who his mother was. All we know was, you know, he came from Gilead. He was a rough man. He was a Tishbite, you know, and so forth. You know, I mean, that, you know, that's really all we knew about him. And he meant business. I mean, he wasn't fooling around. As soon as he got, you know, just like, look, he's ready to do business. And we saw all the things he did. Now, we've seen a human side now. If you read only, 1 Kings 17 and 18, and you didn't read down to where he started to flee from his life in chapter 19 from Jezebel, you wouldn't know that he went through those things. You know, so, but God allowed us to see these stories in the Bible. The people that we admire so much, like Elijah, he actually eventually went up to heaven, the chariots of fire. You know, we'll see that there were moments in their lives, even in Elijah's life, that he wanted to die. But I guarantee you, after that experience at the cave, he's not running from anybody anymore. You come up against him, if I be a man of God, he's not running from Jezebel or nobody after that. You know, we'll get to that later on. Let me not get ahead of myself. We haven't seen that yet in these stories, but we'll get to that. But at this point in time, he's going through stuff. He just feels all alone. I mean, this woman is going to kill me and he's running away. You know, this woman can't kill you after all the stuff you already done. You got so much power, but that's not how he felt, you know, and all of us go through that. You have tremendous faith for certain things, you know, and then sometimes it seems like everything just caves in, you know, and it's like, my goodness, you know, I mean, your feet are heavy, your hands are hanging down, your head is bowed down, and things are just not moving. But you just went through some tremendous miracles. Well, those are the ups and downs of life. You can see how Elijah experienced it. But I guarantee you, at the end of each of that, you know, if you're a man or a woman that have been, you know, trained to be in the presence of God, God never leave you alone. Angel of the Lord will come and strengthen you or something. And it may be for you to go through the next phase. There's always phases in our lives. You know, something else you got to do. You know, God's going to show you the next things that are going to happen. And you're going to hear some more things from God or whatever it is that God wants to tell you. There are many we'll find out later reasons why these things happen. But for now, this is all we know about Elijah. You know, but we know that Elijah will always do the word of the Lord. That's one good thing. He went and did the word of the Lord when he was told to go to the brook Cherith. When he was told when he saw the brook was dry and the Lord told him to get out of there and go someplace, he did. And then, you know, when the Lord told him, get up and go tell Ahab something, he did. You know, and every time he went, he did whatever the Lord told him. And even when he was running away at this low state of his life, when the angel, you know, strengthen him in the Lord, he kept going. He knew, you know. God gave him enough information to know that he got to keep going because he told him the journey is ahead. So he kept going. Maybe he knew where he was going, maybe not. But he kept going. And then when the Lord came to him and told him, go stand over here, he did. I mean, he was always doing whatever the voice told him. And then when the Lord told him, you're going to go anoint these people, he did too. He went and called Elijah. Elijah was the first one he saw. And he did. And on and on and on. So that's one good thing about Elijah. He was always doing as the voice prompted him.
Well, let's leave the story there today. Let's leave more time for discussions. Powerful, powerful story. And we haven't even read half of all of the things that Elijah did. You know, there's many more to come, but these are some of the more spectacular things. When people think of Elijah, they say, Elijah, what do you remember of him? People would say, huh, man of fire, call down fire on Carmel. Well, there's other times he called down fire too. We haven't got there. We'll see. But anyway, you will remember those things. People don't remember about Elijah running away from a woman and wanting to die and being so depressed that he wanted to die. But it happened in his life. But he didn't end there. That's a good thing. You know, he had those low moments, but that he did not remain in those low moments. You know, Lord came to him again, and after that, he's not running from anybody. We'll find that out later. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the part two of the lessons of faith, the acts of Elijah and his story. And I'm going to leave it here, and then let's talk about it. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this word, these lessons that we read, this exposition about the things we saw in the life of Elijah. And even at his low moment, the Lord never left him. The angel of the Lord came to him. And may we all receive encouragement from these lessons today, that high or low, the Lord's always there. We may feel high, we may feel low, but he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And we got to keep moving on. The journey is ahead. It's not going back. And the Lord will be with us. And even all that you used, even the seeming errors, weaknesses, failures in his life, running away when he didn't have to, you still used it to bring him through another experience. May we also, you know, have those kind of encounters. And Elijah, he had that juniper tree experience that he had there and some other things that happened to him. And there's still small voice. And Elijah was able to discover the presence of the Lord, even in the midst of all of the happenings, whether or not the Lord was in it. May we have that sense, that keen sense of discernment as well. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.